following program is intended for mature audiences.
Good evening. This is Sal Monella with the Veritas News. Republican Dennis Hastert paid his secret gay lover hush money to be quiet about their sexual relationship while as Speaker of the House he presided over the impeachment of President Clinton for getting a so-called blowjob from Monica Lewinsky. The FBI and IRS have indicted Hastert for bribery. When asked if bribery to keep his homosexuality secret while actively exposing, shaming, and trying to remove from office the President of the United States, Hastert offered reporters donations of $10,000 to spend the news conference time discussing what each might do with $10,000 instead of talking about hypocrisy. In his own defense, Hastert said he wasn't at all ashamed over exposing President Clinton because he said, quote, Bill was a dick, end quote. Given the former representative's hidden homosexual activities, it seems Hastert had a propensity for exposing dicks. An FBI spokesman said that without revealing details, we could only assume that in Hastert's gay relationship, he was the submissive of the two since he paid big bucks to keep his lover's mouth shut. Congress has renewed some powers of the NSA by rewriting the phone bill. I've asked AT&T to rewrite my phone bill every month with no luck. In fact, I think I might know what I might do with some of that $10,000 I just got. I'm going to pay some old phone bills. This is Sal Monella with Veritas News.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
We're ready. We're ready. Yeah, we're ready. 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 We're ready. We're ready. Yeah, we're ready. 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 Ready.
We're ready for the road.
And make believe. It's Sabino Veritas. Featuring host, writer, humorist, experiential mystic, raconteur, and parallel parking expert, Tom Savino. Now, here he is with Sabino Veritas in Wine the Truth, Tom Savino.
Thank you so much, announcer Zane Delgado, who has big news at this very moment, doing something very big. Congratulations on your graduation, Zane Delgado. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Sabino Veritas. On this Thursday, we are honored and pleased to have Erin Morgaard as our very special guest. She is a world-renowned fitness supermodel and actress, CEO of Hadassah Group, a member of Mensa, reigning Miss United Nations of 2013, certified personal trainer, voted in the top 10 fitness trainers, Mrs. Galaxy Virginia of 2012. She's fluent in four languages, social media advisor for the Fortune 500 companies, and the executive producer for TV movie projects and a new reality show to be finished in Los Angeles. And here we are in Los Angeles County from Burbank, California, land of make-believe and fantasy. And excuse me, I'm not even fluent in one language. And we're going to be joining Miss Morgaard momentarily, but she will be focusing on this evening social media. So right now, let's go to my report on social media from a high school here in Los Angeles area. I spoke with high school students this week about their use of social media.
For social media, how many people use their phone more than a computer? Oh, so almost everybody.
A show of hands in the class of 28 revealed that 26 of the students used their phone much more than computer for their social media. I then asked them, what social media do they use?
Yes. Do you have Instagram?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
But not Twitter?
No.
Do you take selfies?
No, but I wrote a song called Selfie, though.
About
I wrote a song called Selfie. It's about taking selfies.
But I want to hear it.
Why I send you out, Selfie? Were you worth it to share and to give? Why'd I send you out when you have to shout? Selfie, will we see a time to outlive all the shame I will feel?
The ninth graders if they ever coordinate Twitter and Instagram and send things out at the same time on the same outlet.
Right away?
Yeah, most of the time.
Do you have Facebook too?
No.
You don't have Facebook? Wow. No, nobody has Facebook. Do you have Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah.
But you don't use it anymore?
No, I just use it to communicate with like family that's like out of the country.
Oh, like family. Oh, that's interesting. And when you first started, though, it was more like with friends. But now it's just...
Okay.
So friends, you use Twitter and Instagram. Very good.
I was surprised at how many of the high school students I spoke with have assigned Facebook to subordinate roles in their life when it was so prominent once before.
Anybody have Snapchat?
Yo.
Yes. You do? Oh, a lot of people have Snapchat. I've never used it. I don't have it. Does anybody know what Pinterest is?
Yeah.
You do? Do you like it? You smile a lot. So it's... Yeah? Like, how would you explain it? It's not like Facebook, is it?
No, it's like...
Wait, we're talking to Sarah.
They put like different pictures of stuff, and you get ideas from it. Like,
oh, they put pictures on.
Like, yeah, like you could put them on too.
And you put them on.
But,
too.
Yeah, and then like if you like something, like if you see like, I don't know, a shirt that you like on there, you can pin it onto your own profile.
Oh, you pin it.
Yeah.
And that's where they get the word. That's where they get the name pin.
Yeah.
So you pin it like on your wall or something.
Like it's like you have your like. You have your own little thing, and then when you pin it, it's like you get the ideas from different people, and you can make your own arts and crafts and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would go to your house.
It doesn't cost to start a...
No. You just need your email.
Maybe I'll try it. I'm going to try Pinterest. And do people follow you?
Yeah.
So it's like, so all these social media things, the people follow you and you follow them. There's most, unless like you have your own. Yeah. Does anybody have their own website?
None of the students had his or her own website. None felt the need to have such exposure since they are totally involved with the many different social media outlets.
Do you raise your hand if you text more than you call?
Oh, I don't know.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Interesting statistic. Great. Many, almost 100%.
Perhaps a bit uncharacteristically for a ninth grader, one of them was very down on social media.
Social media.
It is ruining our society.
Good comment. What? Why? What do you think?
Because there is cyberbullying and people suiciding because of the so-called Facebook and Twitter.
Because what do they do on Facebook and Twitter that would cause somebody to commit suicide? You mentioned cyberbullying.
Yes.
How does that work?
Someone posts an awful comment about another person over and over.
And then many people see it.
And make fun of the person making being fun of.
High school senior Hannah Almonte, who is graduating as we speak, had some very interesting things to say and very specific things to say about social media.
I used to use it a lot when I first started because, oh, this is a new cool thing, and that's always sort of happens. And then I sort of, what I did was when people would add me, I would think, okay, their name sounds familiar, let me add them to my Facebook friends list. And then I ended up with 800 people that I don't really talk to, a lot of them. So what I did was one time I sat down and I looked through everyone and I said, okay, I know you, but I don't talk to you. I haven't had a meaningful conversation with you. Probably not worth it to keep you on my list. And I've done that. I've filtered it down to about 500 people, so I got rid of 300 Facebook friends that way. And now every single time their birthdays come up, I'm thinking to myself, if I don't care enough or know you enough to say something nice to you on your birthday, I probably shouldn't have you on my Facebook. So that's also another system I devised to sort of, you know, really keep it to my circle of friends that I actually talk to. And I think it's working for the most part, and so now I'm like, I can say that if I see someone on my newsfeed, I sincerely care about how they're doing. You know, the upside to having 1,000 friends is that if you want to say something, 1,000 people will hear it. But the downside to that is that every single time one of those 1,000 people wants to say something, you also have to listen to it because it's going to show up in your feed. And I'm not a big fan of that. I'm really all about, you know, let's keep it to where my social, I want my Facebook to represent what my social life actually is, which isn't very big, but very close and intimate.
That's a good comment. I like that.
Yeah. So I think that, for instance, I know that a lot of celebrities sort of use social media to promote certain causes, and I support that. But if it's maybe like promoting your own business, and I do know a couple of friends that are like, oh, I'm selling certain things. You guys want to buy it? And it's like, it's almost sort of inappropriate when you're using, for example, a group that's specifically dedicated to, for example, Science Bowl. And all of a sudden you have one person show up and say, hey guys, speaking of, you know, completely unrelated topic, I'm trying to sell my SAT prep books. Anyone interested? And it's like, we're here for Science Bowl, not for your business page. Why don't you make your own business page and we'll go there? And it's like, I think that Facebook has a lot of devices that will allow you to do things like this, but people sort of never bother to access those things because they're unpopular or they're sort of mildly annoying, but they are created for that purpose. And that's sort of, that kind of goes along with promoting your business. You kind of have to annoy some people, and that's just the way it is.
Unlike most of the other seniors in Hannah's class who laughed when they admitted that social media had taken up much of their study time, Hannah had a different reaction.
No, I don't think so. I think that I definitely agree that sometimes it's, instead of doing my work, I procrastinate. And I go on YouTube for a long time and just binge watch videos. But I think a lot of it is just self-control. And I definitely can say that I have that self-control. During the college application process, for instance, like I said, I use Facebook to message people. And I got to a point where I just got too many messages, people asking me, hey, can you look at my essays really quickly? Do you mind sending me your essay so I can look and see what you're doing right, blah, blah, blah. And it got so much to handle. And I think that every person has the capability to say, okay, let's call it a day. I'm going to deactivate my Facebook for a week so I don't get messages for a week and I can focus on the thing that matters, which is my college application. And when I'm done with that, I can go back on Facebook and help people when they need it, which is what I did. And I think that that's a matter of personal choice. There is no power in a social media. It's kind of like saying, I did it because I was peer pressured. Well, just because they're doing it doesn't mean you have to do it. But I do see that there is a pressure that goes with using social media, just as there is a pressure when you have your group of friends doing certain things that you're compelled to do it. But it's all a matter of personal choice, and I think I've made good choices in terms of my social media use. There's nothing out there that I would be ashamed for colleges to look at, because I kept it clean, and it's representative of who I am, and I try to keep it that way.
Where are you headed? Nice to meet you. First time I've met you. Very nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Where are you off to?
I'm going to Yale.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, oh yeah. Oh, you mean the locks, where they make the locks and keys?
I know.
Oh, well, I'm really glad I talked to you then.
Yeah. Thank
I got
you.
A good person to talk to.
So I went to this program called the Summer Science Program, and it's a camp for 36 students from all over the world, and they do an astronomy project trying to determine the orbit of a near-Earth asteroid in teams of three. And one of my teammates is actually from the Catalan area in Spain, so that's where he's from. And so I was really close to him. I worked with him for 5 weeks trying to do this project. My roommate from the same program is from Madrid, and so I was also really close to her because we would always meet up where, you know, we sleep in the same room for 5 weeks. You get to know people. So those are two of the people that I met. They're both from Spain. There were a couple of people from the program that I was close to. For example, there's a guy from Turkey. We talked a lot, and he's going to UPenn this year, actually. So, and I also have another friend in India. So there are just connections, you know, and people with similar interests. And it's good to keep in touch with those people because they understand you on a different level. And I always like expanding sort of my network of friends, and it's good. And social media is alike.
And you use social media to connect with them.
Yeah. We use Facebook all the time.
Given her intelligence and her ability to articulate things, I thought Hannah was a good candidate to ask, what is Snapchat?
Snapchat is you take a picture and you have an option to caption it. They give you a limited amount of space to caption it, which is basically it goes across the picture and that's as much as you can caption it. And they give you an option of how long the person you send it to can view them, from 1 to 10 seconds. And what ends up happening is there's this option, this feature that they added called My Story, which is what you do is you take a picture, you add it to your story, and all of your friends can view said story for a period of 24 hours. And it's sort of a way to document your life, but the good thing about it is, unlike Facebook, you are documenting your life for a day and it all goes away. And you know, it's really like, hey, I'm going on a vacation, look at what I just saw, isn't this cool? But it goes away after 24 hours. So that's the concept of the story. And
comments that your participants were making. Very, very interesting.
Yes, and I'm sure you will enlighten us even more and really flesh out those, you know, the concepts that they were giving us. I think there's a lot of things there that I know you're going to you cover. Would you like to comment on, particularly on anything? Despite Hannah's ability to articulate, I still don't quite get Snapchat. But, you know, I mean, if you have something more important to say, please say it. But you can always tell me how that works.
Well, I'll be happy to enlighten you. And then again, thank you for having me on your show. Snapchat to me, I actually utilized the app for about a day. I decided then I didn't want it, only because they were having so many glitches with the application of the app. And I'm a big Mac person like you are, and I just didn't see the purpose in it. It's basically like now you see it, now you don't, and I didn't really care for that. They have improved since then, but that's not one of the, although there are many celebrities now that I'm seeing Snapchat everywhere.
Mm-hmm,
everywhere. Yeah. On Instagram, they're saying, follow me on Snapchat. And I thought, you know, there were several other applications out there, other apps. One was called Keek, K-E-E-K, and it was more elite, more selective for celebrities and for following and so forth. But Snapchat is, I think, you know, since it was bought out, I think that it'll probably be on the upswing for popularity. But I'm perfectly happy with the Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter platforms that I currently use. And I'm very adept at social media. I've been doing this for a while. But I do have to say, not that long, not as long as most people. I didn't do MySpace. I actually started on Facebook back in 2009, and I was on LinkedIn actually since about 2005, simply because the military commanded you, so to speak, to have a LinkedIn profile if you were working with them. I was working as an independent contractor, even after duty military. My own father-in-law is on LinkedIn, which is hilarious, but it's one of those that's been around for a while, but it's Instagram actually is becoming definitely for commercial, any kind of commercial item that you want to sell. Businesses are really utilizing Instagram quite readily, more so than Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah. The other day I was listening to NPR, and they were talking about advertising on Instagram. And one of the benefits, which I never thought of, is that, a small business can have the exposure, the same exact exposure. I mean, if you're a small business and you get a good photographer and you get, you know, good people, your little Instagram ad is just as good and just as powerful as Macy's or some, you know, a big business.
That is absolutely correct. And I'm finding that more people are not only just using that, but again, you mentioned about the websites. Most people aren't using those or keeping them up to date or current. I have had a website since 2003, and at first it was really sort of like a I don't want to say like a vanity tool, but it was something that I thought was important for branding, and I've always been a huge proponent for branding for many years, and have followed the trends as far as trying to stay cutting edge on all aspects of technology and branding and all that. And I think I've done pretty well. I know that for any kind of small business, Instagram is definitely, the overhead is zero, and you can really get out there if you work it. You have to know how to work it. There's certain techniques, certain times you want to post, and that applies to Facebook and Twitter as well. And, you know, definitely it does take some work. And that's why a lot of people employ social media managers. I've had people ask me to do their social media for them, but because of what I'm doing and the range of things I'm doing, there's absolutely no way that I could keep up with that. And
Yes, I can't imagine. There's no more room on the. There's not enough paper to put another thing on your resume.
No, there's not. No. But I enjoy it simply because it's kind of like a game. It's almost like playing chess in a way, which I love to play chess because it's trying to see who you can connect with in the shortest amount of time. And then, I mean, it's almost like 6 degrees of separation. It's really interesting to see how small our world is becoming, and then see, it's just incredible, I think. I think technology is incredible. I understand the concept of the possibilities that too much screen time can cause depression. I mean, there are definitely studies that will suggest that. But on the other hand, think about 10 years ago. Think about the possibilities of, like, for example, you and I meeting, or I mean, there's so many people.
Oh yeah,
It would. There's absolutely no way it would ever happen. So I think it's a benefit to the human race, and I think that it just has to be limited. You have to have a breaking point from it every day. Absolutely. So
yes, I think we all need to get away from the screen every now and then. But I totally agree with you. Meeting you and many other the people I've come across, because I've been blessed to have the show, and was offered this by SRN1 Media in Canada, which is this where we're coming from, by way of Burbank, California, for listeners. So it is quite an amazing thing. Let me ask you one thing about the before we move on to another topic. The Instagram as advertising, as like on a website, of course, you could purchase something. Can you do that on Instagram? Can you make a purchase by way of Instagram?
Not to my knowledge yet. That is about a month away from that being a possibility. The same with trying to put links in to guide you to the actual website where you'll be doing, where you will be making the purchases. There are apps out there that, you know, you can use Smart Paper or Apple Pay. You can do that, but right now Instagram does not have that capability, and I say yet. It's just a matter of time before they do. And if that does happen, it will be a game changer. Facebook, since they bought out Instagram, is just making an absolute killing with that. And if that does happen, then it will just be a phenomenal success.
Well, that was wise of them, I guess, because in talking to the high school students the other day, I was taken by how many of them don't use Facebook anymore, or they've relished it to like very specific things. This is just how I talk to my relatives in Ohio or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the Facebook people are running Instagram, so they're in good shape, I guess.
They're in good shape, and they also bought the WhatsApp platform as well, and I think that, again, Mark Zuckerberg, I've followed him for a long time. Malcolm Gladwell, I've followed him for a long time. I read his complete trilogy, as he would call it, and I think that he was exactly right on the pulse of what our society is going through, and that is an expanse of information technology, and eventually we will have our own holograms, believe it or not. I think the way most of my friends in the think tanks I belong to, that is just inevitable, because I actually published an article with two doctor friends of mine about the nine dimensions of reality, and it talks specifically about string theories, mathematical computations, and how there are nine different dimensions of reality as opposed to three or even four. So the technology is out there. People are going to do it. They're going to make things accessible, faster, easier, and many of these social media programs are paving the way for it. I mean, it's just inevitable. So yeah. I'm excited. I think it'll be really cool. I'm a tech person. I love tech. Anything that makes my life easier and faster to get what I need to get where I want makes me happy. So
well, if there's, you know, if it is ever proven that we have adjacent universes, we'll be communicating across universes, and I think we'll be doing that with parallelograms.
Absolutely, so, yeah. Definitely, and I think Mars. That's just an idea again, but with CERN and its reconfiguration and restarting what they're doing, I believe that we are going to be in for some interesting surprises.
Yes, I do. Okay. The show that's just on before mine, Aaron, is Cotolo Chronicles, and actually Frank Cotolo is the host of that show. He and I were radio partners back in the 70s, and we reconnected all within the last couple of years, and that's how I wound up getting this Savino Veritas, which, by the way, you're listening to here on SRN1 by way of Burbank, California, land of make-believe and fantasy, coming to you live from Burbank, California, from Lion's Den Studios in Burbank. We are not soundproof, we are not foolproof, but we are 90 proof, and we're talking with Aaron J. Morgart. And what is the J for, just out of curiosity? Because my middle initial is also J, but I doubt if it's Joseph for you.
It is. No, it's not. it's. Please call me Caitlin. No, I just said that. I just had to get it. I had to get that off my head.
Sure.
The Jones is the J is for Jones.
I
kept my last name as my middle name, and I don't know why I did that. I mean, just it's. I was in graduate school at the time, and I went to one of my postgraduate schools was the Citadel, and so I was in Charleston, and actually some of my friends there are on Southern Charm, so they're. They were my friends for about 3 years, and so I learned a lot of their customs and thus took my last name as my middle name, as they do. And so the J is for Jones.
Okay, well, thank you. And again, everybody, you just tuned in. We are listening to Aaron J. Morgart, who is expert in social media, among many other things. And as a matter of fact, if you listened to the beginning of the show, you heard me speaking with a high school senior who's graduating tonight, and she's on her way to Yale. And I believe, Aaron, you are in Harvard. Is that right, or still, or taking classes?
I still. And again, you know, I attribute it. Maybe I, as a gymnast when I was a child, maybe I just something rattled around my brain to make it completely. ADD, but I am still taking courses with Harvard, continuing medical education credits, because I have my master's in clinical psychology, and I wanted to then get a second one and get a PhD in sports medicine to tie everything in, because I really enjoy medicine quite a bit, and the human brain and all that. And so the military actually paid approximately $6,000 towards my education, so I was continuing on with Harvard, and their case studies are fantastic. So I should have my PhD by the time I'm 93. I'm not quite sure.
Well, I know how that is. I actually know, not personally, but I know from a friend of mine is graduating tomorrow from College of the Canyons.
Oh.
She's in her 20s, but there is a 93-year-old woman graduating with her tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she was in her 80s. She said, you know, I think I'd like to go to college. So,
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's great.
Yes, I think so, too.
Yeah.
And we are talking with Erin Morgaard. And let me ask you about the social. How has it changed the world? I mean, I think is that kind of obvious, or maybe not? What would you say about that? How's social media changed the world?
It's changed it. I don't know why. I was just thinking about the Star Wars, the dark and light side, the duality. The bright side of social media is, again, the fact that the world is no longer flat. We're all becoming connected, and it's very easy to do this, which is helpful for everyone, I believe. And even like with medical technology, being able to do assessments over not just social media, but over computer and all of that. I mean, all of that is wonderful, and it's a huge time saver. But the downside to social media, aside from the studies that they've done about it causing depression, and I can see that happening. But the other thing is the millennial population is losing its ability to communicate and see value in communicating with real life people in real time. And I see that happening all the time, especially in Los Angeles. Yeah. And it bothers me. It bothers me. I think they should, there needs to be a time out. I'm so tired of being in situations where people are always on their phone. I think it's rude, actually.
Yeah. I not long ago was on the campus of CSUN, Cal State University, Northridge, and I had gone there. I'm sorry, not in the Yale and the Harvard category, but Cal State, CSUN was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my teaching credential there. For a long time. I was a high school English teacher.
Oh, wonderful.
And but I went back recently, and I was just sitting at on the bench, and everyone was walking around with a glow on their face from a phone. You know, I remember, and then that's not that long ago when I went, but I remember, you know, sitting under a tree reading a book or talking to someone, you know?
Yes. Yes, and that's, again, the person with the phone, it's like another appendage, and I am very aware of, especially like in a social situation, of making sure that I put my phone away. Like, and a lot of places they'll ask you to turn your phone off, and I think it's common courtesy. There has to be an etiquette to utilizing the phone and when not to. And the other thing that I find so interesting, and this is another part of the downside, the dark side to it all, is it's creating a whole society of narcissists.
Yeah.
And it's not that important for people to show us their food all the time. It's really not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. And it's the things that are important now certainly weren't important 15 years ago. And that's why social media it's created celebrities. And I'll admit, I mean, for myself, for me, I don't like to post things. I like to post things that are work-related, and I like to post things that show progress or relevance towards what I'm doing. And to me, that's helpful. I know of other people who really vent their problems, their life, everything on Facebook, and it horrifies me because I know that whoever they're employed by, if they are, they're getting judged and chastised by the comments that they're making. So that is something for everyone to really be aware of, because once it's out there, it's out there.
And
it's
Hannah Belmonte commented on that too, and she was aware of what you shouldn't put out there, if you know, for your own reputation, especially someone who's just starting out after high school and needs to, you know, needs to have a reputation. That's a positive reputation, and you can put those things out there and harm yourself.
That's absolutely the truth, and people have gotten fired over what they posted. And again, the bullying, I mean, people can file lawsuits on behalf of that. I know that the show that I'm filming, which is now in edit stage, we touch on that quite a bit for people who've been stalked, and that would include myself, other people. And and it's one of those things that if you put yourself out there as we all do, anyone who is trying to market themselves and brand themselves or trying to improve their position in their field, they're going to have people who are going to eventually either turn on them or try to bring them down. And social media certainly has caused that to a great degree. And you bring out, or at least I do, I know females especially, we bring out a specific population of people I would like to call the Facebook sociopaths of the world. So, but it is absolutely, there are good sides and bad sides to it. The other thing too is anytime I'm at a function, I always post after, like 24 hours after. You just don't know. You don't know who is watching or, you know, what people are actually doing. So that's the downside to it.
Well, you may have been surprised the other day. We had a little communication between us, and you may have been surprised to learn that I do not have a Facebook. And actually, the reason I don't is an incident that happened when it was new. It was just new, and I was teaching at a high school. And some students, it was all the buzz. Everybody was talking about, oh, I got to go to Facebook. I got Facebook. Yeah. And students started coming to me saying, oh, that was really funny what you said on Facebook. And I said, what? I didn't say it. I didn't know I had a Facebook. So, because one of the students started it for me.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I put a stop to that, but then it sort of like, soured me.
I'll say.
So I stayed away from it. And now I guess I was kind of ahead of my time because everybody's abandoning Facebook or something. I'm sure that, but they're actually, from what I gather, it's still very useful.
I get a lot of petitions that they sign this petition, sign it, and then please like us on Facebook, you know. And it's like, well, I can't because I don't. But I guess it's still a very good tool for promotion, yes?
It is, and you're right. I mean, every company has like us. And again, that the whole tone, it sounds like they're begging.
Yeah.
Like us, please like us.
Yeah.
And it's almost an embarrassment, but everyone, from you name it, whatever name brand it is, definitely. And Twitter the same way. But I have to say that Twitter, I kind of like Twitter better, only because, I mean, at first I was a little bit daunted by the 140 character rule, mm-hmm. because, like you, well, initially I was going to go into the field of English lit, because that was my chosen goal when I was in high school, and I did honors English and all of that, and and I have this thing, I love to proofread papers. I am a grammar Nazi, okay? Mm-hmm. I will admit that. I am one. And yeah. I do point things out to people, but when that all came about, I think that it eventually just made things more difficult on Twitter. However, I have to say, I'm finding more celebrities that are real, mm-hmm. and I mean real,
yeah.
because there's so many fakes on Facebook. They use Twitter much more, definitely yeah. much more. It's just faster. It's verbiage on crack, and it's you can get things done much more quickly, I think, on Twitter. So I still use that.
Well, my involvement with Twitter was it started. She said, "Hey, this is a good place to write jokes." So I wrote jokes, and you really have to be disciplined to cut it down or get the right word, because
yes.
you only have 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty much doing that, and then I realized. I mean, I really there's a lot I should realize sooner, but I'm not in Mensa, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. You know, one of those things is like, you mean I could, like, send you a direct message? I didn't know. Yeah. What? I could do that? Yeah. So at first I didn't know that. But I was doing that. And, of course, now that I have the show started in December, by the way, and I'm using it to promote the show. But I still write shows because that, you know, it's fun. And I got to tell you, and you could comment on this, please do, because I should shut up and have you talk on the show. But just a couple of weeks ago, my hero followed me on Twitter. And I said, what? I can't believe it. And it was Stephen Colbert.
Wow.
Followed me on Twitter. I mean, I don't, you know, but
that is, okay, that's screenshot worthy. I hope you took a screenshot of that. I would. Definitely.
I don't know if I did that or not, or how to get it or something.
That's incredible. I love Stephen Colbert. He's one of my favorites too, yeah. absolutely.
And you know what? I think he writes his own tweets.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of the comedians do, and number one, really, you should get a screenshot of that. Because that will help you. Number two, I have a friend who works. He's a writer for Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he is in the whole Mensa thing with a lot of us, and we all kind of know each other. And I think he's funny too. But he is constantly writing jokes. All the time on Twitter. In fact, I helped him with his Twitter page. I've helped a lot of my friends who are in the industry and who are pretty well known with their Twitter pages because they honestly didn't know about direct messaging. I have one very famous friend who I helped
I helped her with her Twitter page. People were actually sending her notifications, and she had not replied to them in like 2 years. I said, you might want to respond to some of these people because, you know, just to get her following up, because that was her main concern. She said, I need to increase my numbers because a lot of, you know, Hollywood, a lot of deals are done on followers and likes and just all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's a whole other ballgame, but it's definitely the truth. And so I helped her with that, but with this writer, he started out, this is a couple of years ago, he started out, I think, with maybe, I don't know, less than 100,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been on game shows and things like that. He is up now, because I said, this is what you need to do, this is how you need to post it, this is when you need to do it. And he is posting constantly, and he's up to, I don't know, almost half a million followers. So,
wow.
So, yeah. But he's one of these people that he's constantly writing, like you, he's constantly writing, he's trying to improve his jokes, and he's a writer, so you know he's constantly mm-hmm. doing that, and he's very politically savvy, like you are, and so that's one of his things.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. If you look him up, his name is Rick Rossner, and
Rossner.
Yeah, and yeah. I'll tweet you both, and that's another intro into my world, because
yeah.
that's. Which is weird, so.
on that note, we're going to take this very short break here. That's right, friends. Tweet. You can follow me on Twitter at TJ Savino. TJ Savino, which is also my same username. For Instagram. So both Instagram and Twitter, TJ Savino. Follow me, please, and we can send direct messages to each other. How is that for promotion? Now you're going to please critique my promotion.
I think that was wonderful. I do. I think that was wonderful. And that's the other thing, too. Cross promotion in social media and supporting other people, that is one of the most effective tools that anyone can use. There are people who do not support other people, tweet other people, friend other people. They are in their own little microcosm of their world, and they wonder why they have so many few followers, truly. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't behoove them to isolate themselves in social media, especially if you're trying to promote a project, it's so helpful to pay it forward and to give credit where it's due. And so
that's what
it's really all about, definitely.
Well, I'm definitely still learning, and Aaron J. Morgard is a great teacher from whom I could learn. There's some grammar you could correct there. And she's teaching us tonight here on social media, but there's many, many sides to Aaron J. Morgard. Aaron, I'll skip the J for a minute. I don't know why. And around 9 o'clock Pacific time, we have to break away for a very short newscast from Canada. And you are listening, everybody, to Savino Veritas. In wine, the truth, the fine wine of select gripes, but no gripes today. Today we're talking about social media, and we're going to be talking about Aaron's involvement in Mensa. And as a matter of fact, by the way, I noticed on your resume thing here, it's capital letters. Is it an anagram, or is it a...
Mensa is an anagram, I believe. Not, but there's Mensa International. There's different
there's American Mensa. I'm a member of American Mensa, and along with that, there are other proponents. Not they're Mensa related. Basically, there's the main think tank that I'm in is called the Ultranet, and that's based on Christopher Langen and his wife Dina. They started that back in the 90s, and I was too busy at that time living abroad and whatnot, and so I didn't join it until
busy living abroad, just like Caitlin.
That's right. Caitlin got 2.4 million followers in 24 hours. I am so proud of her.
You know, I gotta say, my wife said, "Who do you think this is?" And I looked at it, and the picture, of course, I'm talking about, in Vanity Fair, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, "Boy, it does look familiar." I thought it was the actress who played the wife in Breaking Bad.
Actually,
it's not. You know, it's pretty. I'd hit that, as they say, as the kids say in high school.
Well, and other people compared Caitlin. I still can't see it. I'm sorry. This person is Bruce Jenner. He always will be. I saw him compete, and that's that. That's just the way it is. Anyway, Jessica Lange. I saw a huge resemblance to Jessica Lange in her picture for Vanity Fair. So, That was my takeaway of it. But again, you know, the magic of Annie Leibovitz and her photography and their editorial staff, I'm sure, did justice to the photoshopping of that. So
yes, I was going to mention that. Yeah, photoshopping has a lot to do with it too. So
That was photoshopped to death. I am absolutely sure, and I just know that from doing photo shoots myself and working with some incredible editors. I'd like to know how long it took to do that one particular photograph. I'm interested. So
I bet it took quite a bit of time and an effort. Yeah, we are talking with Erin Borgardt, and she is talking this evening about one of her many areas of expertise, and that is tonight on social media. And we're going to break away at about 9 o'clock Pacific time. You're listening to Savino Veritas, which is on every Thursday evening live, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. geography, Eastern time, and all those other. You can hear it anywhere. You could, you know, probably people in ISIS listening right now.
I'm sure. Based upon my following, at least on Facebook alone, I would bet $10,000 that we have a small contingent of ISIS people listening right now.
Yeah. <I'm sure. laughs> Probably. As long as it's just don't lose your head, but
No.
And when we come back from the news, I want to talk about Mensa and your especially the fact that you are the reigning Miss United Nations. I didn't even know there was a Miss United Nations. They should promote that more on Twitter or something. But so we'll talk about that. And it's okay that it's not exactly 9 o'clock, so I'm going to break away to the news now. Phil, we're going to Phil Hone in Canada with the local news.
After a major raid in Keswick. The two are accused of an armed robbery at a pharmacy located in Durham Region. Brampton officials want an internal whistleblowing hotline. At least one counselor is skeptical about the costs of creating and maintaining the service. And East Gwillimbury will install LED streetlights. The move is expected to save $2 million in 12 years of operating costs. Chance of showers, Pearson 22, Newmarket 19. This update is brought to you by Frank Atola, 1148.ca. Wisdom from the wise man himself. Frank on wisdom at 1148.ca/Frank. And now back to the other wise men, Tom Savino with Savino Veritas and SRN1.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Phil, you got to get the name right. Come on, Phil. So, it's pretty cold out there. Most Canada. What do you expect? You expect cold from Canada. We are talking with Aaron Morgard. And Aaron, tell us about your how did you get into Mensa? I mean, how did you, obviously you knew you were intelligent, people knew you were intelligent, but is there like a test you have to take or something?
There is a test that you have to take, and when I took it, I took it at a really odd time. I have two children, and I took it shortly after I gave birth to my daughter, and so I went to a testing center where they administered the test, and that was back in 1994 or so. And I really took it just for fun, although probably hormonally I wasn't probably in the happiest mood, probably.
Yeah.
And but it was just one of those things I thought, okay, this is on my bucket list, and I'm going to take it right now. So, and actually, that was in California. This is the fourth time I've lived in California, so That's when I took the test. And so they have practice tests. They have books that you can practice on, and it helps you somewhat, but not really. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with your ability a lot of it's mathematical, but a lot of it, frankly, I think is really having a good grasp of the English language. I found a lot of test questions to involve a lot of basic knowledge, and as a high school student especially, I utilized my thesaurus profusely and enjoyed it. So I think a lot of that has its benefits when you're taking the test. So, Yes. So to answer your question, yes, there's a test that you have to take. There's usually a proctor that will take it. I mean, that you have to go to, and they'll administer the test, with a lot of the other tests that that are done. I homeschooled my children, so a lot of their testing that they had to do was done with a proctor occasionally. And
Do they have meetings? By the way, it is very possible that people don't know what we're talking about. So Mensa is it is a club, I guess, or an organ. Would you say it's a? Would you call it a club? Get the thesaurus out there and.
The people kind of put it into a club aspect, but really they call it an organization. And I think it's gotten somewhat of a bad rap because I have other friends that are in Mensa, and frankly, I think, and I don't know why people snap, but okay, people that are in Mensa, I know of other people that are in Mensa that have the social skills of a piece of wood. I mean, it's just, they're not autistic. They don't know how to really work with other people. And not only that, but they also have this elevated sense of self, and that has brought, I think, Mensa into kind of like an elitist sort of club, if you will, but it's they call it an organization, and they have they have the special designations for children, and different groups for them. So in a way, it's kind of neat. But they have an international version, and I think they, you know, in their ability to try to improve the intelligence of the American population, I think that they're trying to actually bring in more of an international community. At least I see that happening quite a bit. So, and I noticed on Twitter they're not. I'm followed by American Mensa, and whenever I tweet them, they always tweet back, and they don't really have a huge following. So,
yeah. Now you on the subject of internationality.
Yes.
You are. It says reigning, so you are still Miss United Nations.
No, I. It. Whenever you win a title, you have reigned for that particular year, and actually, the United Nations pageant. Has been in existence for about 10 years. Most people don't know that. It is a very, it's a small pageant. It is highly international. It's based upon your ability to promote your country of origin. And it's largely academic, and they have male and female contestants. They have single, married contestants, and the Trump Organization actually underwrites part of this pageant, which most people do not know.
Wow.
And with any other pageant, there is a fee that you have to pay, and then you have to go through, you know, the application process and all of that. So actually, I won for the United States 2012 and 2013. In 2012, I won the People's Choice Award, and this is, you know, this is kind of an interesting story too, because in 2013 there's the World Contest, and that was taking place in Mexico. Shortly before I was going to fly down there, I on Facebook got a very interesting message from someone who was projecting himself as a concierge / bodyguard. And he sent some very alarming pictures. I still have that that particular message. And a lot of these things, too, I mean, if anyone sees anything out of the norm, always screenshot it. I mean, I just do. It's a way to protect yourself. And so I did that with this, because then usually what happens now is they disappear off the face of the planet, and then you can't regain that message back. But anyway, I found out later, because this individual was not very intelligent, he sent his little itinerary of his services, how he would be my bodyguard if I went to the world pageant. He sent a copy of what looked like his driver's license, a picture of himself holding a gun, and then some kind of Photoshop picture of him opening up the door with some woman, like a VIP person. And I thought, this looks really, really scary. So I have friends that work in Intel, military and not, and I sent that to them. And they said, oh, that's part of the Spanish Mafia.
Oh, really?
I said, okay. And then I looked on the travel advisory for Mexico. And sure enough, my husband, I'm married, my husband is a Navy captain.
Mm-hmm.
There was a travel advisory for anyone who was in the military. They advised them not to go into these specific ports because of terrorist activity.
Wow.
So that cut that right in half. I said, there's absolutely no, I didn't want to go by myself, and I certainly couldn't bring my husband, so I didn't go. I just thought I didn't want to take that chance.
and especially with a travel advisory. And a lot of people don't check those, but they need to if they're traveling.
I am not a world traveler, but I would recommend anyone that they definitely check these State Department things and the advisories for sure these days. You know.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, when I lived in Sicily, there were several hot spots. At the time, Greece was one, so we weren't able to go there. And another one was part of Bahrain, which I wanted to go just because I wanted to go shopping there because those were some huge advantages to living overseas because you can avoid some of the taxes, and there's a lot of benefits to it. Once you're over there, mm-hmm. and you have those abilities, so but those two spots we weren't allowed to go to at the time. So and of course now everything has changed. I mean, there's a lot of places that aren't advisable to go to. So,
well, as you know, the Spanish mafia, the Sicily, the kind of the center of the Italian mafia, excuse me. And as you probably don't know, Aaron, but I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, in Bensonhurst, the section of Brooklyn, which was kind of the mafia headquarters. And there were many, many gang mafia killings in restaurants. Now, they were very careful not to include innocent people. That is, not include them in being shot, but the assassinations would be right there, right in front of them. And, and actually, I'm going to play you a little cut of something that kind of solves that problem. So give a listen, Aaron, and everybody, and see if we solve the problem of mafia assassinations in Brooklyn.
Are you tired of people dying around you?
At your favorite Italian restaurant?
Well, worry no more.
Mafia is trying to improve too. They tweeted that for their restaurants and they're promoting. You're listening to Sabino Veritas, coming to you live from Burbank, California, land of make believe and fantasy. And tonight we are speaking with Aaron Morgart, who is an expert in many things, as I said before. And mostly we're focusing on social media, but now we're going to get into the subject of your film career and the film you're working on, which we had mentioned, Mensa, and I think this Mr. Langan, I was not familiar with this person, and when I connected with you, I did a little research, and what an interesting guy. Tell us about him and the film you're working on.
Well, Chris... I have known him for a little over 4 years. He is probably one of the most humble people I have ever met. if there's any preconceived notions about people who have extremely, and of course on his end of it, the highest of IQs, he shows no signs of any kind of elitist thought. I mean, not a bit. Absolutely not one bit. And so I have nothing but the utmost of respect for him. I look to him as a mentor. He's a very good friend. He says it exactly how it is. And the thing that I really respect about him is the fact that he really has an insight on people, and he knows people well. And I say that with the thinking that his background, he actually was a bouncer. He was a bouncer in New York for, I believe, 12 years, and he did not have the best upbringing and had a lot of hardships within his family growing up. Got bullied a lot. A lot of us, it seems like a lot of us that are in these think tanks, a lot of us were like bullied or beat up or had, you know, some really horrific childhoods, just different things that I don't know if it created this survival gene or just pure madness, or you're just mad at the world, so you're going to prove everyone wrong. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm competitive. I'm extremely competitive, and I get that from my father, I think. But I think, I mean, there's so much of that. And Chris, really, he is one of the nicest people that I've ever met. And so the group that we're in, there's only about 78 of us, and he is humble. He, prolific writer, I mean, just the things that we write in a group, it's just amazing. And he's always, he never puts anyone down. He is always uplifting people. And he has complete theories to back up everything that he says. And so I was just amazed at, you know, the kind of person he is, just such a humble human being, just a great person. I can't say enough about him, because there are other people that are in this same group and other groups that I would not say that about. You know, they tout their IQ, they wear it on their sleeve. And I had a manager at one point tell me years ago, he said, you should never tell anyone that you're in Mensa, it will turn people off. But, you know, I thought, as a female, we have to, I think, use whatever we can, especially in Los Angeles, especially when you're dealing with production studios and all that. I think, you know, lay your cards out on the table and deviate from the norm. And then if they really like you, they're going to like you for who you are. And I know the LA scene. I know exactly, you know, to an extent, how things are run. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to change. But back to Chris. We've been discussing back and forth about doing a really commendable documentary on him. And he's been interviewed by 60 Minutes in a lot of other programs. The BBC interviewed him recently, and no one has done him justice as far as what his theories are and how he sees the world and religion, which is like, to some people it's like, oh, don't talk about that. But it's going to be a topic of discussion in this documentary. And so with another friend of mine, he is primarily from the fitness world, but he also is in the high IQ world as well. Jason Ellis is his name, and there are two Jason Ellises. So this is the one that's the photographer, not the other one. So if anybody does Google this, just know that.
Good advice.
Yes, exactly. And you'll see why if you can go either one of them. But this Jason Ellis, he and I discussed years ago about wouldn't it be great to get, you know, everything on film about Chris and his story and everything, because Chris is also a bodybuilder and he was in that world too. So it took a long time to find Chris, and eventually when I did, I really felt like I had hit the Holy Grail. And I know that sounds corny, but I really felt like that, because he is off the grid. He's not on Facebook. He's not on Twitter. You can barely find him on LinkedIn. And when you do, the only way that you really can talk to him is to get in to his group. Mm-hmm. And he and Gina are the administrators of the group. So that's what I did. And since then, we've been discussing flying out to his place and filming. And so we are finalizing that whole process. And I wanted to do something along the lines of, I like the style of some of the HBO documentaries. And the show, the reality show that I have been filming for a little over a year now, and it's in the final stages of editing. One of our good friends who does work for HBO, he's done documentaries for them and been up for a couple of Academy Awards in the past. I would like to try and bring him in on this as well after we're done. But some of these projects just take so long. But with Chris, I think I really want... It's going to be compelling. It's going to be provocative. It's going to bring him out in the best light. And that's the best way that I can say it.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for introducing me to him, because I don't mean personally, if people are listening, I mean making me aware of him, because I wasn't aware of him. And then a little bit of Googling, and Googling is a verb now, I guess.
Oh, it is, yes. Yeah.
It's, he's quite an amazing guy. So yeah, the filming is done, right? I mean, it's...
The filming for the filming for the show that I was cast in March of 2014, that's a separate show, and that one actually, it's in editing stages now, and that's a completely separate entity, and we have a cast of about 10 to 12 people on it, but I was the first one that was cast, and from there, I helped. I basically did the casting call. I actually even did it on Facebook. People can look on a timeline of around March 2014. I put out a casting call, and some people. It got changed from a reality show aspect into a docudrama, simply because we added several people into the mix, including. One of my very best friends, Lydia Cornell, she's on our cast, and Dailey, she is a singer-songwriter, just extraordinary woman, and so she is on it as well. Trevor Coppola, who's a distant relative of Francis Ford Coppola, he's on the show as well. And just about everybody that's on this show is... actively working for either a studio or writing, doing something in a grand capacity. Another one, he is a director for TV One, so he won Best Documentary for the Image Awards, the NAACP Image Awards. So we all bring everything, our own skill set, to the table for this show, for... show number one. Show number two, which is a bona fide documentary on Christopher Langen, that one has yet to be filmed. And so, as with anything, that is going to be done. We're going to do it this summer. We wanted to do it sooner, but because of the location of where Chris lives, the weather wasn't as conducive, so we wanted to wait. But the legalities, which there are always those things involved with distribution and all of that, those are all being wrapped up, and as of tomorrow, it's going to be set, and so filming will begin in July at some point. So
fantastic, and you're the executive producer of that, correct?
Yes, I am. Executive producer, consultant. I'll be involved in the editing and a key player in distribution. So that's why I started my company, Hadassah Group.
What's the name of your company again?
Some people, depending on what part of the country they're from, it's either Hadassah or Hadassah. And
It's the allergy. Hold on a second. I cut my mic. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I'm familiar with the word Hadassah. And you're the CEO of that group.
Well, the interesting thing about this is I wanted to start a company, and I wanted to be able to use it for several reasons, either media, production, publicity, whatever I wanted. I wanted something prolific, and distribution, too. Something in the state of California that would be registered, so that's what I did. But to find the title, I literally opened up the Bible, and I asked God to show me what I should call my company. And I do that a lot. I'm a very spiritual person. And He literally, and I say that with all sincerity, opened up to the book of Esther and to that particular, and it was in the concordance. It described Esther's name before she became Queen Esther. And she was Hadassah. That was her name. She was adopted. And it means myrtle, from the myrtle tree. It also means anointed one for the king. And I thought, this is really cool.
Yes. That was a great way to get the name, yeah.
So that's how it happened. And I, in my undergraduate studies, I went to a very small private school with liberal arts, and we had to take Old and New Testament. That was part of our curriculum. And I do not remember ever seeing that. I couldn't have told you that was Esther's name in a million years. I didn't even remember that, know it at all. And so I just look at that as another sign of, the way God can work.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
That's, the signs that we, everybody, I guess I think we get signs. I would think Aaron believes that. I think I don't know you that well, but just through the show and just from what you're saying, and we often miss the signs. There's signs that are directing us to go this directions to investigate this, look into that. And I think this is probably an example of what happened to you.
It did, and it's not the first time that I've ever asked God to do that. But, people look at spirituality and that whole topic in various ways. But usually when I want to know something very specific, I will do that. I will ask God, show me this, I don't know. It was such a sign to me, because I thought this is such a perfect
name. Now, I know there's another organization called Hadassan, and that whole group is wonderful. I didn't even know that group existed.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked me about it at an event, and their concern was I a Zionist organization? And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, you're Hadassan. I said, well, this is what it means. And I, you know, if you look at Wikipedia or any of the other pseudo it states that. And he's like, oh, I wasn't sure. I said no, there's a women's organization that you know, tries to help other women with domestic violence and all that. So I said, that's not me. That's a whole other separate organization. So but it's interesting. I think the science thing, I think now, I think people are really becoming more in tune with all of that and aligned. And just even back to the social media thing, I mean, I would have never met Christopher Langan ever. He would have been someone that I would have seen you know, heard about him or read about him, but never talked to him, certainly not talked to him on the phone or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's really neat. So,
well, that's fantastic. And no engineers here, as I was saying. I got the wrong cut. Here we go.
Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time, and all the other international times. Too cool for school. Thank you for listening. Be with us again next time.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end. By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.